Okay, I should be you should know me at this point because you heard my name a lot of times during this day. I'm Andrea Gazzarini and I'm working as a technical director, software engineer, better because I love coding in Netcult. And this last part of this day is for briefly illustrating some technicalities about our products, two main products, the Oli Suite and the OC Genius, which you heard something about, you saw some screenshot and so on. How many technicians do we have here? Okay. So I will try to keep things as simple as possible, and if you hear some alien word, just raise your hand and I will try to explain better with my wonderful and wide English vocabulary. And this is me, but it's not important because I'm famous. And well, we will start with OC Genius. As I told you, you heard a lot about this word OC Genius during the day. And what is OC Genius? Concretely, in this context and in the screenshot that you already saw in our presentations, you can think to OC Genius like an OPAC, okay, the public catalog accessed by the end users. But it is as we will see, it is something more. Let's say that is a search platform, is completely written in Java and uses only open source technologies and frameworks, no legacy components or proprietary or commercial. We implemented, we developed OC Genius, keeping in mind extensibility, modularity. We implemented OC Genius as a search platform, as a framework, as something that can be extended, that can be enhanced, improved. And is something where the term search is a first-class citizen, okay? So we called it the search service-oriented architecture. The search is very important in OC Genius. It is a cohesive platform. We divided OC Genius, as we will see later, in several modules. Each of them has a specific responsibility in the whole process. And finally, you can think to OC Genius as an OPAC. Actually, the OPAC is just a concrete example, a concrete instance of what you can do with OC Genius. But for example, the Torrossa website from Casalini Libri that you already saw is another instance built on OC Genius, and that is not an OPAC.
It's an
e-commerce site. The OC Genius family, we divided four main roles. The OC Genius I stands for indexer, is the module that holds the indexing logic, the data manipulation logic. Searcher is OC Genius S, is a searcher that provides search services. And the last two modules are, we classified them as a front-end modules. The OC Genius Z is a Z3950 adapter that provides Z3950 connectivity. And OC Genius W is the OC Genius Web, which provides two kinds of interface. The first is the graphical user interface that lets the user interact with the application, login, logout, reserve, loan, borrow, renew, and search, refine the search and so on. The other interface is a technical interface. It's technically called REST interface. All those services that are exposed in the web graphical user interface as are already available as services. They can be used for in order to integrate those services in a custom application, in a mobile application, in another OPAC or something like that. This is a big picture of how those roles interact. We have the indexer and the searcher. Data is coming from, let's say, MARC data, but we have a lot of data that can be indexed. Data is goes through the indexer, is manipulated, is indexed, and so on. Then it's synchronized to OSIGenius S and is exposed by means of OSIGenius W and OSIGenius Z to several kind of clients, as you can see. And the process, this is the process at the very beginning, but then, after that, data is continuously manipulated by the library or by the data owner, and is again is indexed, is synchronized periodically or in near real time in the search service layer, and is made available. The most up-to-date changes are made available in the front-end modules. The natural evolution of this kind of system is to put another client, the library management system, beside the other front-end modules. So it can use those search services within the application. We will see these scenarios better later. As I told you, the search, the term search, is very important in OSIGenius. So the first part of the presentation is dedicated to search services. So here we will talk about the indexer and the searcher. What is OSIGenius I? It's the indexer. Is the component that holds the data manipulation logic. So what does it mean? It's mainly responsible, is in charge to add, remove, apply changes to data that will be later available for search. It is based on Apache Solr, another word that you probably heard during this day. Apache Solr is a I think the most popular information retrieval platform, is completely open source, is open source and is licensed under the Apache license, which means that basically it's free of charge. You can download and use. And on top of that, we added some extension to focus our work on the library domain. For example, we add extensions. We added some extensions for indexing MARC records, which are not natively supported in Solr. Or another example, digital records, so rich documents, and RDF indexing. This is a big picture, and you will see a similar picture in the other the OSIGenius S that illustrates how schematically how it is built. A core in the center of the picture, and several pieces that can be plugged in or off depending on the customer requirements, the customer needs. This is a brief list, not exhaustive, of all kind of formats that we are supporting. The most important, I think, in this context are the first two, the MARC records and rich documents. we developed some kind of expression language to analyze, manipulate, and extract values from this kind of data. But we are also able to work with text document in general and RDF, database records, because most probably the database is the primary source of data in several organizations, websites, and other content. Other content, mostly text-based, because Solr and OzyGenius are full text search engine. The next slide is an example of the meta language, let's say the simple language that we developed to analyze MARC records. There are three examples. We developed something like 150 extraction functions to extract values from MARC records. So in the first example, the alpha function is getting all alphabetical fields, subfields from a given set of tags. The second is extracting the value of the 650A. The third example is an example of a concatenation. Function can be concatenated. So first I'm extracting the value of 245A, and then I'm removing the trailing punctuation. All those data that is manipulated in that way is managed by OzyGenius I, the indexer. Then once this process is completed, the data needs to be available to OzyGenius S, which provides search services. It is also based on Apache Solr, but here is the responsibility, which is different, because OzyGenius I is the indexer, is the data manipulator, and here we are in the search domain. So OzyGenius S is the component which exposes search services. And also here we added some extension to the core of Solr. With core of Solr, I mean the version that you can download, that you can freely download from the website. Some extension, for example, still related to bibliographic world. For example, the holdings data. You can have real-time information about the availability, the shelf list, the location, and so on. About a given record, you can have real-time data about this kind of information. Why? Because in an OPAC, this kind of data needs to come directly from the library management system, because if I'm a borrower, I want to know if that copy is available or not. Because if it is not available, that means I cannot borrow. If it's available, I can place a hold, or I can go to the library and borrow that copy. So this kind of information needs to be in real time. This is the same picture you already saw with OzyGenius I. So the behavior here is the same. And this is a simple list, still not exhaustive, of things of what I mean with search services. A lot of things come built in with Solr, but there are something that we specifically developed for in OzyGenius. This is the case for holding data, for auto-completion, and for controlled query expansion, and MARC XML output response writer that we are using in the Z3950 proxy. So, with OzyGenius I and OzyGenius S, what can I do? I listed three examples, three scenarios. The first is the search engine of MyOpac, as is the first thing that comes in my mind when I'm talking about libraries, OPAC, and so on, a library management system, and so on. So basically, in this scenario, data is indexed in OSI Genius, E, in the indexer, becomes searchable in OSI Genius S, and finally becomes accessible in OSI Genius W and OSI Genius Z. Typical usage are search engine for the OPAC, of the institution, of the organization, in general, a discovery application of a given organization, and OPAC to OPAC integration. If from one OPAC, I want to embed some kind of content coming from another OPAC, or in general, using the REST-like interface provided by OSI Genius W, you can write your mobile or, in general, custom applications, okay? The second usage is a search engine. I mean, it is a search engine, and we, as part of a proof of concept, we are trying to implement, we call it a MARC search engine. So marked records comes in OSI Genius, and the user, technical user, I mean, can query, can access to the search services using a query language that is strictly closed to the MARC dialect. We call it MARC query language. If you are librarians, I think this can, even if it is a technical thing, I think that is should be familiar. I'm using the tags in my query, in my queries. I use tag subfield. I'm using Boolean operators and or. I'm using wildcard. But I mean, it's a technical language, but should be familiar to a librarian. Okay. Okay. The next slide is an example of the response of such search engine. In this scenario, data is still indexed using OSI Genius Y, becomes searchable in the searcher, and is exposed directly to clients using the REST interface, the REST-like interface provided by Solr. Typical usage, the first point, deep integration with library management system, is in actually the third scenario that we will see sooner. Rich client, still rich client application that one wants to integrate those services, and mobile applications. The third scenario is the most complete, I mean, is an integrated system where, if you remember the previous similar slide, data was coming from an external source, okay? Here is different because it's the library management system that during its cataloging activity, workflow, or something like that, is providing data that is indexed in OSI Genius, goes through the indexer, and is made available to the front-end modules. Okay, what is the difference in this scenario? That is completely integrated. The LMS acts both as a supplier, data supplier, and consumer, because it is producing the records that will be published on the OPAC, but it is using itself, that search engine, as an internal search engine, using the for example, the MARC query language that we saw previously. Data in this scenario needs to be available in near real time, because if I'm a librarian and I save a record and I won't immediately change, update something on that record, I have to find this. I cannot wait a lot of time between one index phase and another. Some kind of publication policies are needed here, because I mean, without any kind of rules, each time you press the save button, this record is immediately available in the OPAC. This couldn't be what the organization wants. So some kind of publication level policy and so on, so you can have a different, for example, button on action, publish and save, for example. I mean, it's an integrated system, and therefore it has a high level of higher level of complexity. Two quick slides about how we can deploy those search services. The first is used in small medium organization and includes two main roles: a master and a set of slaves. So the Aussie Genius AI is the master, who is in charge to manipulate data, and data is periodically replicated across several searchers. Why several? Because if you have an OPAC that is widely accessed, having several instances of a searcher makes your system highly available, because the OPAC application can do something like round robin or load balancing among several instances. Okay, so in this scenario, that is useful for small or medium organizations, because all that stuff can be deployed also in a single machine. We have periodical updates. So usually institution that uses this kind of scenario are updating the index, and therefore are making data available in the OPAC periodically, daily or weekly. Okay, and therefore, as a consequence of that, there is no near real time. In order to see a record on the OPAC, you have to wait until the next index cycle. This is, as you can imagine, this is the evolution, okay? Cloud mode, where we have different, we have a higher complexity of the system, but of course this is a deployment scenario for a wide organization. Okay, so the index and data is firstly split vertically. So you can see that while in the previous scenario you have one monolithic index where all data is inserted, here you have three. In this example, three different so-called shards, which are parts of the whole index. Actually, you can see that you don't have three shards, but you have nine. Why? Because each shard is copied several times, also in other nodes. So data is replicated. That I don't know if is yes. The shard with the L is the leader. The other are marked with a R and R replica. Okay. Why this? Because this is the same principle of, for example, of Dropbox. Okay. If I have my data in several places, I have no problem about backup, for example, because if one node crashes and is lost, the hard disk is definitely damaged. I have the same copy of that data in other two machines. Two, but this is the example. I can have 10 copies of the data. And at query time, I have three nodes that can answer to a given query, because the record X is not on only one node, but is only is in three nodes. So that means one of them can answer to a given query, and that increases my load capability. Okay. In this scenario, which is complex, I mean, because as you can see, there are a lot of components involved. We have replication, we have sharding. Therefore, the index has been split in several parts. We have near real time, and is a scenario that is indicated for high volumes for wide organizations. Because, for example, here, in this specific example, you need to have at least three machines, because otherwise that doesn't make sense to deploy all these things in one machine. The front-end modules are the OSIGenius W and OSIGenius Z. In OSIGenius W, yes, what is it? It's a web graphical user interface, and we will see some screenshots, so I will try to be fast. And a REST-like interface for building third-party application, for integrating OSIGenius content in another application, and so on. Is an API, I mean, that needs to be used by technical people for building their applications. As the other modules, is completely written in Java, and for non-technical people, that means no restrictions about the hosting operating system, the hosting environment. Any system that can run Java can run OSIGenius. And it follows an enterprise standard called JEE, Java Enterprise Edition, which is the de facto standard for building enterprise applications. It runs on top of a kind of middleware called application server. And there are a lot of application servers that are free of charge. And at the moment, we run OSIGenius in production on three different application servers: JBoss, Tomcat, and Jetty. And finally, as they siblings, is we implemented that as a kind of pluggable framework where pieces can be enabled or disabled depending on the customer requirements. This is a brief list, because all search services most probably have a counterpart here, because I have a graphical counterpart. And now we start with a list of the first is a skinnability. You can see some screenshot of several installations of OSIGenius, and you can see that are very different each other. I cannot focus on, but they are not also opaque. There is also Torrosa in the bottom, and we are able to customize, to completely customize the user interface, because the user interface strictly depends and is influenced by the usage, but the functional requirements of the customer. If I have to build an OPAC, probably I have some functional requirement. If I have to build an e-commerce site, there is something that needs to be plugged in, okay? Some features that we have on the user interface. The so-called simple search, which is the first function, that feature function that any search-based application should have, the text box with some other parameters where I can put some text and search, and I can specify other stuff like record per page, sort by a given criteria, or search only in titles, search only in authors, and so on. The whole toolbar is completely configurable. So, for example, one institution would like just any keyword search, and another institution could be interested in search by title and search by authors, okay? The advanced search, so-called, actually this is the simple search for the system, and the other is the advanced search. But from an end user perspective, this is usually called advanced search because allows the user to build an advanced query by concatenating Boolean operators, filters, limits, and so on. Still here, the filters, the indexes where you can search are all things completely configurable. The holdings data, as a graphical counterpart of the search service, when I see, we are in an opaque here clearly, when I see, when I view a record detail, I can get from search services the holdings data about availability, about shelf list, interlibrary loan. In case of a network library, I can see the specific copy is in that library, the other copy is in that other library, and so on. And here the user could do some actions, for example, place a hold. Another interesting thing is a kind of cover provider chain. We are able to plug in, to configure in a kind of chain several cover providers. There are Open Library, Google Books, or some commercial providers like Syndetics. The system can each time needs to show a cover, to find, to look for a cover, to is able to query the chain and say to the first ring, can you find a cover for this item? No. Second member, can you find a cover for the other, and so on, till the one of the member of the chain is able to provide a cover. Usually the last provider is a component that does nothing, the not available provider, which provides usually a picture with no image available, okay? The highlighting, this is Torrosa, the site from Casalini Libri. The highlighting is another popular feature among search services. And these are not properly bibliographic records, but they are full text. They are rich documents, okay? So I'm searching from one or more terms, and those terms are highlighted. The system provides me some snippets where terms that I entered are highlighted, colored, so I can get an immediate mean about the context where those terms appears within the document. In the parentheses, in the integrated scenario, where the LMS is client, is provider, supplier, and user of search services, you could have all these things in your LMS. The auto-completion, this is the so popular feature of Google. Okay, when you start typing some key, some character, the system suggests you a list of titles, of things that are related with your search. Of course, it is context sensitive, because if I, in the search toolbar, I choose to search only among authors, system will suggest me only names, okay? The tabbed search is another thing that we took from web browser. So it's the ability to open several tabs so you can have different search contexts open. And the content of the search can be, the content of each tab can be local or federated. I mean, the result of an external search, we will see later. And each tab is a separate, you can see each tab as a separate instance, like what happens in the web browsers. The screenshot is, the tabs are on the top. So I have here three tabs, and the focus is on the second one. This is the same screenshot on another installation. When you see the blue screenshots, this is a showcase that we initially built for showing all the components available in OSI Genius W. Phased search is another graphical counterpart of a search services provided by the searcher. Phased are a way to aggregate results. You can usually, you when you search something, you get back a page of results, because if your search produced 1,000 of records, you couldn't be able to see all those records in a single page. So you are, the search engine is paging those results. Phased are some kind of information about the overall results. So on top of, when you are seeing the first page, you immediately see that, for example, on a total amount of 1,000 records, 10 are written in Italian, 12 are written in Hungarian, and things like that. These are just some examples of how phased can be rendered graphically. It's just a matter of configuration. Federated search is another feature that can be integrated, that is present, can be enabled or disabled in OSI Genius. And we integrated the meta searching middleware called Passepartout, and it is basically able to execute federated search across several external sources. So here we are not talking about local catalog. You can configure several resources, and you can run query against all those resources, but the results will be merged. So you won't have the idea that you are querying different resources. All these things can be integrated in OSI Genius, and the tabbed search that I was talking previously, you can open tabs, execute your local search, and open another tab and execute a federated search. So you can have this kind of feature mixed. Targets can be, as I wrote, theoretically everything, but usually they are Z3950 targets, or SRU or SRW endpoints. Passepartout, but with a commercial support, is able to integrate also non-standard resources using a screen scraping approach. Third-party content is another kind of resources, external resources that can be integrated in OSI Genius. There are some providers like Syndetics, they are not free of charge, that provides such services, external content, additional content to your records that can be loaded, usually in the record details, but theoretically can be put everywhere in the application. And nothing is a useful feature that can improve your user search experience, because the user, the data coming from your local catalog is enriched with a lot of other information that you probably don't have in your local catalog. Classification browsing is another component that we developed in OSI Genius Web. It's a kind of navigation tree on top of a classification system. By default, OSI Genius comes with a Dewey decimal classification browser or a Library of Congress call number, but theoretically, any classification system can be integrated in this component. This is always to Rosa, and okay, most probably this is hidden. This component is hidden, but you can see the Dewey decimal classification system, and can be used to expand several nodes, and clicking on a node will run a corresponding search for all items that belong to that classification, that class. These are different ways to render the classification browsers. Other minor features, you can see each record in the result list as a short with few attributes, long, all attributes I have, or grouped depending on some particular grouping algorithm, or you can see the underlying mark. You can export, download, or send by email the records that you see on the user interface. You can select the records and can export in several formats, in MARC or in PDF, Excel, or something like that. And the whole interface is internationalized or labels. And OSI Genius comes by default in Italian and English, but adding additional languages is just a matter of translation, because the application is already ready for that. And finally, the OSI Genius plugins is the extension point of OSI Genius. They are the extension points where we can build custom and specific features depending on customer needs. One example is the account plugin that allows the user to log in to tag, to create tags on records, ratings, reviews, and so on. And this is the personal area of the user where he can see all these things in one place. And finally, the last module is very simple, because the OSI Genius Z is a Z3950 adapter, which provides Z3950 connectivity. It is still written entirely in Java, so with all those advantages I was talking previously. And I call it a mask, because it is basically an adapter. There's no search logic, because search logic is in OSI Genius S. Here we are just adapting between the Solar World, the Solar protocol, and the Z3950 protocol. Okay? This is for OSI Genius. If you have some question, just raise your hand. I'm going ahead. What about browsing? I left out browsing because we implemented browsing in Aussie Genius, because browsing is a particular kind of search, because it is not exactly a search, a full text search. So it is not natively supported by Solr. We implemented an extension for browsing based on the work that has already been done in, do you know WooFind? WooFind is another open source that is still built on Solr, and the National Australian Library, a guy from a National Australian Library, wrote an extension for browsing, starting from Authority Records. We developed an extension like this, but we are migrating and we are integrating the browsing module of the Holy Suite, which is more powerful, directly in Aussie Genius. So, because it's not a proper work for Solr, let's say, because it's not a full text search. The records that comes in the second page has nothing to do with the records that are on the first page. They have just ordered alphabetically, let's say. So we met a lot of problems in implementing this thing in Solr. We implemented it. There are a lot of institutions, all customers that have installed Aussie Genius as OPAC do have their browsing module built on top of Solr. But we decided to use the browsing module of the LMS. It's not the same. It's the same engine that we extracted from the library management system and put within Solr. But in this way, we have to maintain one system. So I didn't put that in the slide. E mo finisco.
No, it's not important. It's
And finally, some technical slides about Holy Suite. I won't talk about functional aspects because my colleagues did that definitely better than me. So. Some information about how Holy Suite has been built. We are Java guys, as you imagine. So Holy Suite is completely written in Java, still no legacy or native or commercial parts, and is a Java enterprise application. So it is able to run on top of JEE compliant servers. There are commercial and free of charge servers. We run Holy Suite on JBoss and on Oracle WebLogic in Trento specifically. Oracle WebLogic is commercial. It's a commercial server. It's a three-tiered architecture. It's built on top of three different layers where presentation, logic, and integration layer are clearly separated. And all non-functional requirements. The advantage of being a JEE application is that one of the advantages is that the non-functional requirements such as transaction, scalability, high availability, load balancing, security, are managed directly in the JEE container, the application server. We used proven open source technologies coming from Java world. Enterprise Java Bean. If you are not technician, probably these are alien wars, but these are some proven technologies and frameworks coming from the Java world. Apache Solr is still used within the Oli suite for auto-completion services during the heading creation. Retired again, okay, and I already said that we developed on JBoss and Oracle WebLogic. The schema is very simple. It's a retired application, so we can have a logic layer where there is an integration domain and services layer, and a presentation layer that talks with the preceding level in a protocol, in a standard protocol, RMI, IIoP, or in some installation in local run, it runs in local mode. And the presentation layer exposes the user interface that you saw in the slides of Tiziana and Annalisa, or some services are exposed also using SOAP, which is the web server, the protocol used in SOAP architecture for web services. Another interesting piece of the application is that some services, like for example check-in, check-out, hold management, are exposed also using the 3M protocol for integrating self-check station, RFID, and things like that. It is used. Yes, yeah, no, it's not a proprietary protocol. It's as the same SIP2. I didn't remember the name of the protocol. 3M is the owner of the. It's not 3M, but SIP2. And Oli Suite is able needs, of course, a relational database. I didn't write a specific vendor for the database. At the moment is using Oracle, but the communication between the application and the database is to explain abstracted by a layer in Java which is called JDBC that makes basically transparent to the application the concrete vendor of the relational database. So theoretically, because of course there is something to do, we could switch to another database, free of charge database, like Postgres, SQL, or MySQL. From the application point of view, I mean the box, the logic layer box, there's no difference at all. Finally, three slides with some example of a deployment scenario. The first, as usual, is a simple deployment scenario where all those layers fit in a single node. Small institution that doesn't have strict non-functional requirements, few records, few users, and so on. All these things can be deployed in a single node with modest hardware requirements. When you have few workstation where there are librarians that are cataloging, are doing circulation and so on, but you have a lot of operation, these librarians are working a lot, you can think to cluster the logic layer. So this way, the logic layer, the interaction with the databases and the several services exposed by this layer will be more scalable. The third scenario is a clustered service where both logic layer and presentation layer are clustered, are balanced with software or an appliance. And of course, this is a scenario where you have a lot of operations, a lot of users, a lot of traffic, and so on. That was the last slide. For giving you an idea of the flexibility of the application, this is one, just a moment, because I don't know if I have internet connection. Okay, this is one installation. Okay, sorry. Now it's a problem. Because this is one installation where you can see some of those services I was, okay, this is the auto completion, and here I can choose, wait a moment, I'm switching. Deutsch?
No.
Okay. As you can see, the interface is internationalized, so all labels are ready to be translated. It's just, again, a matter of translation. And the content of this select menu are completely configurable. So, for example, this customer required to search among keywords, name, title, subject, and publisher. Also, the sort criteria is configurable. This is the concrete choice of this customer. This is an example of the cover provider chain. You can see here that the last provider, the no image available provider, is not giving an image with image not available, but is creating a kind of dummy cover. Okay, it's not an image with the title of the book and the author. You can see the holdings data plugin here in two places. First is here, where I can see immediately that for this book I have one copy available. Okay? Entering in the book detail, I can have some more specific information about that copy. So here I can see the library that owns the copy, the location, the shelf list, the availability, I mean, loan allowed and is available, so that means it is in the library. And this customer asked us to this function, print the loan receipt. So I don't remember the user. Prints a loan received that delivered to the librarian. Okay. And some other functions, so for example, it's a bit hard. The more like this, which probably you already saw in Amazon, the system proposes some similar records based on some kind of configurable algorithms. Here, I think, if I remember, is the Dewey classification. Here, an example of the classification browsing, okay? The cool thing here is we don't build the tree in advance, but the tree is built directly starting from records. So that means if you don't have a record in your catalog that belongs to one knowledge class, you won't see that class in the tree. So you can be sure that clicking on some kind of leaf, you always get back some results. Okay, this is the standard classification. It's I mean, is the graphical implementation is something that is related with this specific instance. This is, for example, a custom classification. The Trento Network Libraries has another kind of classification, absolutely not standard, and we implemented the same component on that kind of classification.
Are you integrating some bibliographical services just as such as Zotero?
Yes, because in the detail... there's no need to go to the detail. Sorry, because as part of the export, send, download, you can do several things with the record, but it is more clear... Okay, here I can select one or more records, and I can do all those things with the record. So export in PDF, Excel, HTML, Mark, Zotero, and Note, and so on. These items are, of course, can be enabled or disabled. So because maybe the institution don't. Una ricerca. Yeah, this is an example of in the left side you will see another component that appears. This is the integration with the third party content provider. These results comes from MLOL Media Library Online that provide us some search APIs and. Clicking on them, you can go directly in an MLOL website in the section dedicated to the subscription of this specific customer. But this is how this component is working, because the integration of third-party content strictly depends of how the third-party component behaves. Just to the same engine. this is still OsiGenius with another scheme. This customer, which is a university, delivered us as an IT department, as the director wanted a specific user interface that his own technician implemented statically. I mean, they delivered us the HTML pages, and we built the front end layout on top of them.
And
I didn't know. This is another kind of legacy in a proprietary classification system that is used within this library, within this university.
And is this a Udacy based or some kind of ontology based?
Here?
Some kind of ontology based hierarchy or Udacy based?
No, it's a classification system. It's organized in three, of course, of discipline, but it's not an ontology.
Forse ti ricordi qualche EA che produce l'Onergan? This is an example of the browsing built on top of Solr. This is provided by Solr. But wait a moment. Benedetto. No. Ah, ecco, ok. Well, you can see also the scene instead from relationships. All these things has been indexed in Solar, but again, we met some difficulties because from one side we have successfully implemented this feature, but librarians' requirements about browsing are very, very definitely strong. So at the end, we already have a browsing module in LibriSuite, and everybody is happy. So we were wondering, why don't we integrate that browsing feature directly in OSI Genius, so everybody will be happy, because otherwise is a kind of fight, because here, I mean, the intent when we built this feature in OSI Genius was to provide a feature like browsing to the end users. But since our customers are librarians, they want the same feature that they have in the library management system. And this is very different from a lot of perspectives. So this is based, a similar thing has been developed in WooFind by that guy of the National Australian Library. But he's starting from, the difference is that he's starting from authorities' records. While here we are able to start from authority records or for bibliographic records, and we assume the headings directly from bibliographic records. So one of the main differences with the browsing that you have in your library management system is that here you won't see any heading that doesn't have a corresponding result in the catalog. So if you create a heading in your library management system and you don't associate that heading with a record, at least one bibliographic record, Solar won't be able to index. Here in this installation, you can see something similar to the views of Amicus. Trento has two different views, views for children and views for adults. Adults, I mean, not children. So here the blue skin is for adults. Adults sounds...
not children.
And here... everything is the same, the skin is different, but you are searching only within the children view.